Hey, y'all. We are Back to the Basket, a weekly NBA podcast where we discuss and dissect the best league in the world. It's your host, Wahaj, and with me today, like every week, it's Kevin.
Hello, world.
And Richard, a.k.a. Richie Rich.
Best offseason in all of sports.
And not here with us today is our producer, Mike, a.k.a. Mike on Mike. Yeah. Is that the name we're rolling with now?
Yeah.
Our Mike, you're being missed. So our episode today is going to be heavily focused on the free agency. Happy moratorium.
Yeah.
What is going down as we speak?
I think the biggest thing that we need to cover right now is probably the Paul George signing.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm just going to pull up the... Unless someone else has...
Yep. It's 4 years, $137 million deal with OKC.
It's a player option in the fourth year, right?
Yep.
With player option.
Do we like this deal? From both perspectives.
I don't know. If you're a Laker fan, you're not happy.
If I'm the owner, I'm not happy. Like the tax bill is going to be quite hefty for that team.
Apparently, $100 million is what's on the table if they don't stretch Melo.
Yeah, this whole thing to me, the contract, the length of the contract doesn't make any sense because a 1+1 would have been more beneficial for him.
Yeah,
to test the free agency again when there's more money out there. Maybe he likes Russell that much. Maybe he wants to lock it in. Maybe there's something nagging at him. He had a pretty big major injury.
Yeah.
So that could be a factor.
Yeah, it makes sense to want to cash in now.
Maybe he doesn't trust himself that much.
Maybe a selling feature is what Woj, I believe, reported today. The new CBA allows Paul George to extend after the second anniversary of the deal, extending on max with OKC after year two, while opting out of final year. This could make a 7-year, $290 million deal. So
he's playing the long con.
Yeah, maybe Sam Presti sold him on, hey, stick it out for 2 years, we'll offer you a 5-year extension.
It's bizarre that the team is willing to offer so much now, and they were very stingy on money a few years ago when you had to sign Harden. Apparently, money was the big factor. I don't know what the whole story was.
Yeah.
Maybe
we'll never know.
Yeah, it seems like a lesson learned kind of hindsight 2020 scenario.
But is this the right move for OKC?
Right move would have been signing Harden way back when, but they can't do anything about that now.
I mean, regarding this situation, to be honest, I was entering free agency prepared that Paul George would leave. And I was excited with the idea that OKC could start again. Like, if I was Sam Presti, I would be interested in the possibility of selling the farm and starting
over. I'm a very big fan of good playoff basketball, and this does not give me that. Not a big fan of parity. I think in the playoffs, I like consistency. And what I saw last year from this team was not promising. They lost to a Jazz team that was up and coming. They should not have been beaten that badly. I think it was a 4-1 result.
Yeah, gentlemen sweep.
So, looking at this team now, Steven Adams isn't going to get that much better if you're looking forward to that.
He's kind of capped as who he is.
You get productions from Patrick Patterson. You're relying on Jeremy Grant, which is another deal.
Yeah,
a 3-year deal.
They're moving forward.
Another bizarre deal with a player option. Like, do you need that leverage when it comes to Jeremy Grant? I know there's a big demand for the guy. Because players like that get picked up really quickly. Jamichael Green for Memphis got a similar deal last year, and he's a very similar player because you need those players. They're not easy to come by. But still, at the same time, should you pay Jeremy Grant that much money?
It was at nine. It works out to about $9 million a year.
Yes,
he's 24 and going into his prime. So I don't know. Rudy Gay just signed.
What is the ceiling? What is the ceiling?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, going into your prime is one thing, but like in terms of the ceiling, like, are we
a solid player on the bench?
But he's part of their core moving forward. You know what I mean?
Is he though? Because Robertson's coming back.
Robertson has his own weaknesses, and Jeremy Grant has his weaknesses, right? Exactly. Or shooting at all.
Offense.
But he's an elite defender.
Yeah, sure. You need defensive specialists, and we saw what happened last year when he went down.
Yeah.
But at the same time, OKC is in a very weird situation where if you run the same team again, which they are doing pretty much.
Yeah, they're running it back.
It's going to be the same result in the end. So you're paying a much higher tax bill to run the same team again. Where does that doesn't give the fans anything. I mean, yeah, fans are like, whoop-de-doo, Paul George is staying. We're going to celebrate for, like, I don't know, 5 months. And then when come December time when they go on a losing streak, it's going to be the same thing. There's only one ball. There's three ball-dominant players. Even though, let me defend Paul George, he's a good catch-and-shoot player now. He shoots 38% of catch-and-shoot threes.
He's also one of the best two-way players in the NBA.
Well, that's...
Which is very hard to come by. Like, who's better than him as a two-way player? Other than Anthony Davis, Kawhi.
Kawhi Leonard, who we'll also...
Name anyone better than Paul George, other than those two.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that Paul George is not a good thing for this team. But I also believe that if he and Russell Westbrook were on this team without Melo, that would be a better... They would be in a better position. They would have $27 million more to go and sign somebody more than Jeremy Grant. Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you think moving forward that's the OKC's intention? Is that they're going to be stretching Melo's contract?
How do you think Melo would feel about that?
I don't care about Melo's feelings at this point.
Because, yeah, they considered his feelings when they didn't put him on the bench. And look where that got them.
Yo, P, they want me to play off the bench.
Yeah.
Mike throwing that drop.
Yeah, I forgot about all that. But also, Paul George has his own shortcomings. People have thrown shade at him for not being clutch, not coming through in the playoffs. But ultimately, I still believe that he is a top-tier talent in the league, and you pay him whatever you need to. I just don't think the composition of this team is put together well enough to make any noise in the Western Conference, which is going to be a battle yeah, in the next 5 years.
It was already, we've seen in the past few years.
It's we don't even know what could...
They're not even as good as Houston. Come on. Like, even below Warriors, you're not competing with Houston at this point. Maybe 3 years down the road,
and Houston,
but not now.
Probably would have been a better matchup for them than the Utah Jazz, the playoff series. Jazz just had their number for some reason.
Okay, speaking of Houston, Houston's inked a few deals, as well as lost an interesting piece recently. So they re-signed... No, they haven't re-signed Clint Capela. They re-signed Chris Paul. Which was like the big thing because he
4-year, $160 million deal.
You can't let him walk, right? There's no way you let Chris Paul
business,
walk,
right? As you said,
and if you're Chris Paul, you don't take anything.
Hey, wasn't
less.
Paul George unfinished business?
They were both. Chris Paul also tweeted it.
Yeah, I guess they.
I tweeted an image of it.
They
right,
talked
right
about
at 12:01.
But yeah, like if. You don't let him walk, and if you're Chris Paul, you don't take anything less than what the CBA.
So my only knock on this deal is that in the fourth year, a 37-year-old Chris Paul is going to be making $44.5 million. I don't know. How do you feel about
the only problem
the
I have
4 years from now?
Yes, and I'm going to agree with you partially on this because $44 million is a very, very high price tag.
That's ridiculous.
The reason why I will agree with it is because he's injury riddled already. The reason why there's unfinished business because he was injured.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the case a lot more than anything else. He's proven, I know he came up short in a couple of series there where people said, you know, he's not a winner and all
yeah,
those.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in any of that stuff. I think he's a certified, bona fide Hall of Famer.
Okay.
But I'm going to say that much. But at the same time, because of his involvement and how his position in the NBPA, he constructed this bargaining agreement. So there's no way he's taking any less than that. That's the only reason why I can justify this deal for Houston. And Daryl Morey is known as a guy who moves contracts around, even though Ryan Anderson is still there. I can see in the fourth year something happening, but I think he's still very good in the next 3 years.
I think unless Morey has dirt on some other GM in the league, he's not moving that contract.
if I'm a GM in this league, I still take a phone call if someone says, "Hey, do you want Chris Paul?"
37 years for $45 million.
Well, we don't know what he's
going to
look
like. I'm going to hang up right away.
I'll take the phone call.
I'll let my receptionist hang up on him.
But let's also keep in mind, what would $44 million be like in 4 years? Like,
that's
would that
be
as much as it does now?
Maybe the cap in 4 years, It's projected at 116 mil. So
that's in a couple of years. In 4 years, it might be more.
Maybe.
I mean, we're looking at maybe 120, 122. So
45 mil
projected. let's put that out.
Or just I'll throw this out there. Or we're in a league with a hard cap.
Yeah, Adam Silver has dropped that.
Yeah, if you want to keep crying about parity, I'll put in
this
hard
deal
cap.
Looks even worse when that happens.
I don't even know what they're going to set the hard cap at. The way the teams are spending money now, like very frivolously.
Yeah,
I don't see the hard cap being like 150. It's got
to
be more.
They even made it easier for teams to borrow money from the league.
That's very true. Repeater tax.
Okay. Michael Carter Williams, I believe.
To Houston?
We're talking about him?
Yeah, they brought back Gerald Green.
Yes,
they were supposed to do that. They gave him $2 million.
Yeah, good
choice. They need a backup point guard in Michael Carter Williams. They don't really have anybody, per se, besides Chris Paul and James Harden to handle the ball.
Yeah.
Joe Johnson ain't there anymore.
That's who they basically run, right? As a staggering, you know, putting Chris Paul with the bench unit with Eric Gordon.
You know who I think they're going to miss, surprisingly? They're going to miss Trevor Ariza. He signed $15 million.
And he does a lot of things on the floor, you know, winning things. And he is a real contributor to winning basketball.
I think it just came down to money. I just don't think they would want to pay him what Phoenix paid him, just $15 million for a year. I think Ariza was looking for his one final, like, he's 33, I want my money now.
Yeah,
he's already a champion, right? He can go ring chase later on.
He won with the Lakers, I believe, right?
He did.
Yes, my memory serves me correct.
Okay. Trevor Ariza would be a champion.
Sure, but at the same time, I think he's declining.
Yes, it was...
It's a one of those J.J. Redick type deals, right?
Yeah, but so then if we think about it in that way, what do we think of it in terms of the Suns then? Like, do you think them making a move to try and be good-ish makes sense?
See, Ryan McDonough was making good moves up until that point. This move, to me, doesn't make any sense for Phoenix because this sends you a mixed signal. Like, it's sort of like we want to build a culture, but at the same time, we want to win now, sort of.
Well, maybe get a point guard then.
Well, Tyler Ulis...
No, they cut him.
That's what I was going to say. Tyler Ulis could have been on the team. They would have been fine. But I think...
Would have been fine with a 5'7 point guard?
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, there's so many point guards available. They can go out and get whomever they want to. In the draft, there were so many guards.
Well, that was like last week.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying... Phoenix has ball handlers on their team. They don't need a point guard. Like, in this day and age, you don't need a point guard to run your offense.
Yeah, I thought they mostly run it through Booker, so...
Plus, they have Okobo, the French dude, who's a guard. They have... Ayton's going to be getting so many touches this year. So, I mean, what you don't really... Brandon Knight is still on that team.
What is he, a second-round pick? He's not a first-round pick.
Yeah, he's not a first-round pick.
He fell. He fell. 30.
He was supposed to go in the first round.
Ish.
I just think you have enough ball handlers on that team. You don't need another point guard.
Who? Like, other than Booker, who else is going to handle the ball?
No, I'm talking about touches. You don't... If you have Booker, if you have Ayton, who else is getting the ball in that team? Now you have Trevor Ariza.
Josh Jackson.
Yeah. So look at how many pieces they have. Brandon Knight is still on that team.
Paul Bridges.
Sure.
And now they have Ariza. That's a third small forward, 0 point guard.
Yeah, but who can you get that many touches to? If they're trying to develop Ayton, they're trying to develop Booker, who else is going to have the ball on that team?
It's true, but who's going to give it to them? I mean, is Booker just going to run everything, the entire offense?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Let them develop. Sure.
That's what they want him to do.
Sure.
Okay.
Anybody can bring the ball up anybody can bring the ball up the court. Tyler Ulis could have brought up the ball up the court and handed it off to Booker, handed it off to Ayton, handed it off to Josh Jackson. There's so many playmakers on that team now.
Oh, he's pulling up. Let's see the assists.
He went from 3.4 to 4.7 assists per game on much higher usage.
Do you really think Phoenix wants anything but Booker to score and Ayton to get the touches? They don't want anything else from this team.
No.
They want these guys to develop, so they're not having the ball in anyone's... They're like, this is your team now.
It's true.
They're going to lose, sure. But maybe the Trevor Ariza move...
So they're literally paying $15 million for Trevor Ariza to stand there and stretch the floor?
Sure.
And not...
The same thing he was doing in Houston.
I guess so, yeah.
Not cutting. But Josh Jackson's a cutter. So, I mean, you have pieces on that team that... might fit together. We don't know yet. We don't know.
Okay.
So they should have brought a minimum veteran sort of guy like Maurice Spates or something.
No, just Maurice Spates is in China.
China now, yes. So I'm saying like they could have brought somebody on that would have just played that role instead of eating up $15 million.
I think, you know, they were a big player in Fred VanVleet. They really were looking into, you know, pairing him with Booker in the backcourt.
That's interesting.
Because he would have been a great defensive pairing. And what happened there was Masai happened.
Okay.
And he called him up, gave him a 2-year, $18 million deal. Well, actually, $17.1 million, which is the max that he could get for 2 years without taking the Arenas provision and taking a backloaded offer from somebody else. But
So here's my thing. Freddie is a great player, but he's also a short guard again. So if you're going to do that, you might as well keep Tyler Ulis. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. That move doesn't make any sense to me.
I didn't think Tyler Ulis was a Sixth Man of the Year finalist.
No, I'm not. There's no knack on... See, Raptors fans get defensive about this stuff. I'm not taking a shot at Freddie VanVleet.
Fred is real.
Jesus.
Fred is not Tyler Ulis.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, why sign Freddie VanVleet? How does that make sense? Freddie VanVleet is a bench dude. He can't play a starting role.
He can cover defensive lapses in the guard position.
Though. Short guard again. He's how tall
is he? He led the league in net rating.
Sure. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying if you look at it subjectively, what does he bring to Phoenix that they need? Bench scoring?
No. He would have been a starter.
I don't think Freddie's a starter in this league.
I'm going to have to agree with him there, though.
He would have been great paired with Booker, I think.
I just don't see his usage. And he's a great player on the Raptors. He can lead a bench unit as much as you want him to. Starter? Not in this league.
He's played against so many starters.
Sure.
Cook them.
Sure.
CP.
If you give him a starting job, do you think he comes through?
Yeah, in 2 years when he gets the max, he will. Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, sure. This is a realistic discussion. Sure.
Get that. Okay,
speaking of Max. Denver.
Speaking of bad deals.
Two bottles of Pepsi a day.
I have to talk about Will Barton. Oh,
Nico.
Will Barton. Okay, we can talk about Jokic.
No. Do Will Barton. First.
Will Barton. How does $54 million for 4 years? How does that make sense?
It's a 3-year, no? Or is it a 4-year?
It's a 4-year deal.
Okay.
It's 50-54, and there might be some provisions in there. I'm not exactly sure. But at the same time, what is Denver doing here? That's my question.
Denver is apparently they're setting themselves up to aggressively pursue LeBron James, who has apparently made his decision already, but that's for later.
I mean, realistically, where do you go with this team? Which direction are they heading here?
They want to make the playoffs. They want to be a low seed, or they want to be like a 7 or 8, and they want to make the playoffs.
They're happy with that.
I think they want to. If I'm
them, you guys are really underselling Denver here.
I think people are.
They have a really good young core, with Murray, Harris, Jokic, and now Porter Jr. You never know.
You know their payroll is $194 million with that team.
What the owner is...
Up-and-coming team with that price
tag? That's a high price to be up-and-coming.
It's a very high price tag, no, for sure. And you broke down the numbers. How much are they paying?
$49 million in luxury tax.
That's higher than OKC's hit, too, hey?
Yeah. It's because of the Jokic deal.
And does that make the repeater tax next year much higher than that?
Probably. Yeah, for sure.
But if I'm Denver, I hold on to Jokic for dear life.
$29 million for Millsap. $12 million for Wilson Chandler. You gave $147 million for Jokic. What is happening here? And then you pay $54 million to Will Barton? Like, is that team going to take you anything past the first round? Nope. So what do you do here? Even if LeBron signing is in the making here, you're going to have to gut your roster. You're going to have to give away Millsap and somebody else. Probably Wilson Chandler.
For who? LeBron?
For LeBron.
Yeah.
Sign and trade is the only way you sign the guy.
Well, I don't think sign and trade works in the new CBA, so he can't be sign and trade anyway.
Sure. And even in that scenario, like, how are you going to sign him? Even if you're having a talk, how are you going to make this deal happen?
You can't get LeBron. I don't know why.
This is what they thought. They were trying to position themselves to be in the mix for that. So we're just considering.
Well, the fact that he opted out on Friday means that there's no team unless you have cap space, you can't sign him.
And Richard Jefferson is on the Nuggets.
Apparently, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
He's adamant that he doesn't know.
He has a nice shirt saying he doesn't know.
It's a smokescreen.
But yeah, this like,
but how's his motor?
This is the thing.
LeBron's motor? It right now, it's he can't even dive off a cliff right now. Taking a little bit of time.
This is the thing.
I thought he jumped into a lake. That means he's going to the lake.
With Denver, is that
Los Angeles doesn't have any legs.
Yeah, no, they have Clippers too, but they have no boats. Well, they do have boats, but yeah, the thing with Denver is they're paying too much for an experiment. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's see how far we get. Like, let's give Jokic and Murray experience in the first round. That's too high a price to be, like, where they are.
They didn't get anybody defensively, so I don't know how much on that end.
Will, and Millsap.
Will does a lot of good things, but
he plays defense and shoots.
Sure. I mean, I am a big fan of Will Barton, but he just doesn't deserve that kind of money. Not in this. Yeah, not in this.
Cap. How old is he, anyways?
He's got to be at least 20, 29.
He's 27 and a half.
Oh, okay, there you go.
That's high.
So that means
he's got a 4-year deal. That's going to take him to his 30s. I'm not too sure about this.
Yeah.
I have a bad feeling about the Nuggets. I really do. In my gut, it's a bad feeling.
Oh, that's scary. Cause
they'll make the playoffs because they've missed out on the last game a couple of years. But I don't see a high ceiling for this team unless they make a trade for Millsap. You gotta get rid of that money somehow. Mm-hmm. Millsap is 32, and he's almost at $30 million now.
How long is left on that deal?
A couple more. They signed him last year. It was a 3-year deal for, I think, $90 million or something, if my memory is correct.
Ooh. They have him this coming season for 29 and then $30 million for next year. Yeah. That's it.
As I was saying.
That's a very steep payroll.
$30 million for a 34-year-old Millsap. Interesting.
You know, this deal could have easily been the Raptors.
It's true.
Could have easily been the Raptors.
Instead, the Raptors select Serge Ibaka and pay him
21.
Oh, God.
Still $7 million less.
Two years from now, you know, when Giannis...
All right, so we're in unison that Denver Nuggets are not making good moves as free agency.
Yeah. Like,
can we agree on that, or are you still in the camp that Denver is...
No, they're not making any moves.
They're not making any moves.
No.
Okay.
Now the hard part... Well, no, not the hard part, or even the hardest road. KD re-signed.
Smart move for KD.
One plus one.
Smart move. Don't... You save money on that end, because you save $5 million for the Warriors, so they can go out and actually get Jamal Crawford, or maybe don't get Dwight Howard.
Yeah, it's been reported, but no. Do it.
Didn't JaVale just sign away from the Warriors?
I think Denver and the Lakers are interested in JaVale. Like, other teams are interested in JaVale.
A lot of
Thunder and the Pelicans are interested.
Yeah, lot of people are saying they're interested in centers because they're trying to gauge
like LeBron would go.
No, it's like a Boogie thing. I think they're trying to
Leverage?
Yeah, if whoever signs first, Capella or Boogie, whoever signs first, that's going to kind of like settle where
DeAndre Jordan just signed for $24.1 million, so there, the market's there.
Where did he sign?
To the Dallas Mavericks.
I'll say that again.
They got him in the room.
I didn't want to talk about it.
He hasn't signed yet, technically.
Yeah, I mean, we all know what can happen there.
Okay, so then...
But there's no Chris Paul to hold him back, so we'll be okay.
Okay.
But at the same time, I like this move for one reason. It feels like an experiment on Mark Cuban's part. You get him for 1 year, give him the same money, and say, hey, come home, big fella. He's a Texan native. He wanted to play for Dallas a while ago, so why not give him a trial to see if he works out? If he doesn't work out, so what? But, you know, Mark Cuban made a smart move. He's finally learning something from Shark Tank and not giving out terrible deals to people. Harrison Barnes was a bad deal. But in the long run, it may seem like Dallas wants to win now, which is kind of weird. Like, they're not looking to rebuild or develop. They're not in for the long haul.
They
like, Mark Young wants to win now.
Competitive, yeah.
So, sure, the Mavs might make the 8th seed.
Dallas doesn't have a pick, right?
No, they don't have a pick. Next year, they traded it for Doncic, which I think is not a bad move.
No, it's not.
But next year's draft is supposed to be, like, kind of decent. That's what I'm hearing. Like, R.J. Barrett. And...
Yeah, well, I thought it was top heavy.
Is it top heavy?
R.J. Barrett, Zion. And...
How high the pick? It's not going to be that high. I think it's top five protected.
Four or five, yeah.
Okay.
It's
top five protected.
So let's see what happens. But I'm optimistic. I'm finally optimistic after 4 years for the Mavericks.
Okay.
So I'm going to start off my season that way. No negative thoughts, going in completely clear with a clear mind. Like, giving them a chance, giving the young core a chance. Okay. And DeAndre is not that young, but sure.
Harrison Barnes.
Okay. Yes, Wes Matthews, you rejuvenated.
Know, the someone who is not approaching this with a clear mind, Kawhi Leonard. He is very, very clear.
His uncle is approaching this with a clear mind.
Apparently not. Apparently they've very clearly stated that he has no interest in returning to the San Antonio Spurs. And now they're fielding trades. Now that the free agency has officially opened, they're apparently using Philadelphia to get leverage over the LA Lakers in terms of a trade.
What was that? What was that offer that was made from Philly?
I think it was Rocco, Saric, and a first.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it's out in the Twitter sphere. I'm not really sure if that's confirmed by Woj or Shams.
Yeah, and Shams. You've also told me that. Fultz, Simmons, and Embiid are off the table.
Fultz is an interesting piece. He should not be off the table.
I'm going to agree with you on that. The two weird stories combining into one story now.
So, no faith in Fultz?
Kevin, where do you think he's going? Kawhi. Where would you, apart from the Knicks, because you've said that before, where do you think is a viable spot right now for Kawhi and his uncle?
I think the Lakers.
The Lakers, right? I mean, do you think he ends up in Lakers like tomorrow, or do you think he goes to Lakers next year when he's actually a free agent?
I would rather the Lakers not give up their assets and just have him sign.
What assets? Sign. Brandon Ingram?
Brandon Ingram, former number 2 overall draft pick.
Brandon Ingram is kind of real.
Second coming of Kevin Durant, right? Yeah. That's what
after Bruno.
Yeah. All of that hype, you know, Kevin Durant, all that. He's still younger than a lot of the people that were drafted this year. So,
you would not give up Ingram for Kawhi?
No, you should.
He's saying he doesn't want, he will, but he doesn't want to.
I'd rather get him for free.
Yeah.
Next year.
Oh, you think it's like 100% that he signs there regardless?
But do you think Lakers take another risk? They just lost Paul George on the same ideology, like, hey, we're going to wait for this guy to come. And that never happened. They didn't make a hard push and they lost him.
He didn't even take a meeting.
Do you think that happens? They can take that risk?
Maybe. They could. And I feel like they should.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's a bold take.
I'd rather not give up my assets.
I mean, you give up Kuzma, right?
Sure.
But not Ingram. Ingram is untouchable.
Spurs are going to take that? Yeah, Ingram, don't Ingram.
Spurs want Ingram.
Yeah, Spurs want Ingram.
Number 2 overall draft pick. I'm telling you, he's got so much potential.
Wait, you're high on Ingram, man. I had no idea. Yeah, okay. Awesome. Good for you. He's a good player. I believe in him. But I'll give up whatever for Kawhi. I'll give up my right kidney.
Would you give up Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard?
Danny Ainge has openly said that he's not going to do that. Like, he has fully came out and said that he's not making any deals.
Would you give up Jaylen Brown for him?
Jaylen Brown and what else? If you're asking a bunch of picks, then I don't know. Like, Boston has a lot of picks, right?
Yeah.
So if it's just Jaylen Brown and maybe another pick, sure. But if you're asking for multiple picks and Jaylen Brown, it gets a little dicey. Because Marcus Smart might walk, right? So who do you have? Yes, I mean, yeah. I don't think Boston matches if somebody really overpays them.
Nobody's going to
overpay. No, this is Boston's thing. Like, people want to overpay for these Boston role players, and Danny Ainge just lets them do it.
Oh, Avery Bradley. That's what happened.
I think, I think this Evan year Turner. It's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, that was a terrible. That was the summer of 2016 was terrible, though.
Oh, yeah, we have to talk about Portland a little bit, too.
Okay, so we have, I think I heard the Clippers talk. A little bit, right?
Jerry West is very interested in that.
That's kind of like playing for Los Angeles, right? Like, it's not the Lakers, but
It's the same building. It's LA. They just cover the banners with like Taylor Swift whenever they play.
He wants a big market, right?
Blake Griffin posters.
That's what he wants. A big market.
Yeah, I mean, you end up in Los Angeles. That's a viable scenario for him.
Okay, so who do they
revive? The Clippers.
Who do they give up? Who do they trade? Montrell.
Teodosic.
Teodosic. Yes, Spurs will take.
Oh wait, Austin Rivers? No, he's already gone.
He's already gone.
Yeah. They can give up Gilgis.
They can give up Gilgis and Jerome Robinson.
Nobody wants
Boban.
Jerome.
See, that's a weird
Tobias.
They get Boban back and Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
That's too low though. If that like do you know what I mean? Like,
they'll have a high pick.
Tobias, Boban, a couple draft picks. And Gilgis.
You
know, Clippers are just... I don't even believe them as a real franchise. Okay, here's my analogy for the Clippers, all right? And I don't know if you're going to agree with me. This is very much out there. But, you know, when you go to your barbers,
Yeah, and you get...
And your barber's not really there, but you have, like, a like this substitute, whatever, and yeah, he's not as good,
yeah,
but he's in the same barbershop, and you're like, I guess I'm in the same building, I'll get a cut. You know, so it's kind of like going to the Lakers, but not really.
It's just
going
to the Clippers. Use the barbershop as
Clippers?
An analogy for the Clippers.
Yeah, yeah, but,
sorry if that's a weird analogy.
No, it's good. It makes sense.
But Kawhi is a Laker dude. So eventually, I think he's going to go to the Lakers. It's just a matter of time. I don't know if he commits to a team if you trade him to Philly. Let's say he goes to Philly. He's not going to commit.
Okay.
No. I think this camp is too shaky and weird for anybody to trust them.
Not even all the best cheesesteak in the world would convince you to stay in Philly?
Nope.
Okay, so then if you're the Spurs, do you hold on to him until the trade deadline? Like they've stated, they...
Well, I brought this point up, and you guys said that that's not a good idea because his value decreases as time goes on. And they think it's going to be too much disarray, too ugly of a situation for them to wait that long.
Yeah.
You would want him to be a part of your training camp and a part of, you know, the team going forward. The Spurs want him there right now. You know, they would do anything if, you know, Kawhi would come to the training camp and work out and, you know, play with the Spurs team. But he's adamant that he doesn't even want to step into that locker room. So
all this started because Tony Parker made a comment.
No, this
I don't think that's
really... That was the biggest thing, right? That's what I've been hearing. That his comment.
That's what everyone.
He said my injury was 100 times worse.
To me, this sounds like Kawhi's camp wanted a reason to leave, and the injury was a reason for them to leave, and that's why it's getting.
I did hear that. Yeah, he was looking around at 7-8 different doctors before he heard the opinion that he wanted.
And that's why it's getting ugly, because the Spurs know it, and they know it.
Yeah, so Kawhi really wanted out. Like, he just didn't need it. You didn't need a reason to
yeah, you can leave.
I mean, agency. Kyrie did it. He didn't provide anybody a reason as to why he did it.
And he was celebrating.
Everybody knew his reason. He just didn't want to be the shadow under...
Yeah, so he still praises LeBron any chance he gets. I think Kyrie has handled the situation in a very good manner, very classy.
Very professional.
Why can't Kawhi do the same thing? I think he was advised wrong how to deal with this whole situation.
Yes.
From his uncle?
Yes.
I think any report that says... I groan any time I hear a report that says Kawhi's group has said. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
All right, so we can move on from Kawhi, because...
Talked about
it's going to be a while since this whole thing is settled, I believe.
Oh, DeMarcus.
Oh.
Cousins is a free agent. And he was putting up 29 and...
Do teams believe in him, though?
It's interesting you say that, because we were discussing this, and the Pelicans are doubting that they even need him, too.
Why are they doubting it?
Because they went deep. They went deep in the playoffs without him.
He's coming off a really major injury. And bigs that come off that injury don't really do that well moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do you take the chance by giving him the 4-year max?
Not a 4-year, but I think maybe a 2+1 would be a decent...
Do you think that would be safe for the Pelicans?
Yeah.
I think...
Because I think Anthony Davis has an extension coming up next year.
Yeah, he does.
There are a lot
of Supermax, $236 million is what I'm hearing for AD.
I mean, there's nobody else on the Pelicans payroll. And Jrue Holiday is making a bunch of money, but you don't have a lot of people signed to that team. So you can afford to pay this guy a little bit more. But your franchise would be in jeopardy because you're tied to this guy for the long run.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, is that it's not... If he was up and playing, it doesn't matter. But because there's rehabilitation money involved...
It all comes down to the medicals. But I think, you know, if he does come back, even if he's only 80% of the former Cousins, that's still a guy putting up maybe 22-10 a game. And
yeah, numbers for him, like, he's a great player. I've always been in this camp of, like, him not being a winner. And I know that's a very, like, non-statistical thing to say.
Chris Paul's not a winner.
Sure. But, you know, his statistics prove otherwise. He's a great talent, great player. He plays hard. He puts, you know, he gives everything he has, puts everything on the sleeve. But at the same time, the Pelicans did pretty well without him, even though some might say if he was there, it would have been a better result.
They did well with him, too.
Yeah, sure. So where do you go from here? It's a tough situation the Pelicans are in.
It is, yeah. With the medical situation, the fact that he, you know, tore his Achilles, that's a terrible injury. Like, who was the last major Achilles injury? Wesley Matthews?
Yeah, but it also he was a guard, so a big might react different to this injury. We don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, especially a big who plays with as much mobility as Cousins.
Yeah, he's a slow dude. He doesn't move that fast.
He doesn't move that fast, but he, like, drives a lot.
He drives a lot. And a lot of post-ups. A lot of pivots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm...
He's gonna stop him.
We're waiting to find out, right? Yeah. I'm not saying anybody can stop him or they can't stop him. I mean, this is much more about how DeMarcus will play. I don't think it's about other people, because I think he'll still put up – he'll still give you 18 and 13 even on a bad night. The guy can pass too now.
What, do you have a 50-point triple-double this season?
Yeah, he put up Hakeem numbers in that one game. So like 40-22.
Not just one game, many games. Yes. I don't know, my fantasy team, he was the best fantasy
the
player.
The thing about – it's a different scenario if you're the Pelicans and if you're another team. Because if you're the Pelicans,
aka the Lakers,
yeah. If you're the Pelicans, it's a matter of, do we pay him as much as he thinks he's worth, or do we pay him something that is beneficial for us? For the other teams, it's, do we take a chance on DeMarcus Cousins? Yeah, because there's a lot of teams who already have, and I've stated this a bunch of times. There's teams that have like a no boogie rule, and it's real.
I just don't know where his value lies, pre-injury and post-injury. Right. Like, there's this weird middle ground here that I don't know what his value is anymore. Yeah. So a short-term deal would be the best-case scenario for any team.
It's true.
Pelicans or the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe even for him, too.
Sure. I think he should bet on himself a little bit.
Prove himself, right?
I mean, you know, he's the kind of dude that would probably want to take the... He's finally in a position where he's a free agent now. Like, he has control now.
Yeah.
And he's wanted that for a while.
This is a dude who's been tied to a bummy franchise for a long time.
So maybe he's the kind of guy that becomes impatient and goes like, you know what, I'm going to sign a big deal now and not wait for it. I don't know what Boogie's going to do, though. I really don't know. This is really up in the air.
Yeah, well,
Woj did say that, you know, the Lakers are looking into getting LeBron and pairing him with Cousins.
Is that a good pairing? Better than Kawhi and LeBron?
It's possible to get all three.
They have three max slots?
It's not about the third max slot. Kawhi is not, he still has a contract next year.
You have to trade for him.
So
you have to give up Brandon Ingram again.
Or you can give up somebody else.
They would want Brandon.
No, yeah, we just
talked about this. So you want those three players and keep Brandon Ingram? That's not happening.
No, Boogie and LeBron is like...
Maybe Kuzma. You'll keep Kuzma.
That'll be fun.
And Josh Hart.
Kuzma is a better Jordan Clarkson for LeBron than Jordan Clarkson was for LeBron.
Yeah, Kuzma can shoot. So
it's true.
You know, I think this is going to be really fascinating to see. Nobody waited for LeBron this year. Everyone's going ahead and doing whatever they wanted to do. And I like it.
It's good. It keeps it.
Nothing's on hold yet, like it was 4 years ago, whatever.
The only thing on hold is LeBron's decision that comes Tuesday.
Yeah, it comes Tuesday.
Thanks for making us wait, LeBron.
Yeah.
No. What do we have next on the pamphlet?
I'm pretty sure we're going to just... make our guesses at LeBron, and then maybe our two favorites or one or two.
Are we still talking about LeBron? LeBron watch?
Is there a LeBron? Are we into that?
We're not stalkery into LeBron watch.
I mean, people are tracking planes.
No, I'm not tracking nothing.
Okay, we can do most interesting.
Do you think LeBron made a burner account this free agency?
No. He doesn't do free agency. He doesn't do social media.
He didn't
media.
Go Zero Dark 30 again, or Zero Dark 23. What is it? Zero Dark 23? Did he go?
Oh, no, he's posting these, like, weird vacation videos now.
Yeah, like, he'll post his wife working out all the time.
Well, it's like, his wife.
Yeah, like, Jesus.
He has a family. Okay.
this was the most we'll talk about LeBron. Yeah, so I think we have no idea where LeBron's going to go, right?
No. Nope.
No idea.
But
nope.
He knows.
No, Rich Paul doesn't
have. He's making us wait.
Maverick Carter knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he took a phone call from Cleveland. So what percentage-wise, what do you think he stays?
That was 2 weeks' notice.
Stays?
Like, is there like a 10% chance?
I'm going to go with zero.
I'm going to go with zero, too. That sounds to me like, hey, I'm not showing up for work. Like, tomorrow.
Wow. Later. You know what? You know, this. I'm ready for a hot take. I've been saying this for a while. Okay. I think he stays in Cleveland, man. Like, I don't know. I have this gut feeling. It's not going away. I'm so happy about this. I'm so happy about this.
The only way that would make it...
I can't wait to just send you the tweet when he's not staying in Cleveland.
Yeah, no, no. Please, come at me when this doesn't happen.
No, the only way that would make that good is if LeBron just did it to piss off Dan Gilbert.
Sure. LeBron's a petty dude.
You think he's going to sign in Comic Sans MS?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, sign it and put out like a Players Tribune article in Comic Sans.
Like a massive one plus one contract to just fuck Dan Gilbert and then leave next year.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He's already fucked him enough.
Yes, that's very true. Both sides are like on opposite ends. So I don't know how this... I mean, in my mind, I can't convince myself that I just put this take out in the universe.
But it would be hilarious.
But at the same time, I don't want him as a Laker. I just, I'll fundamentally inside, just don't like him as a Laker.
Okay.
That legacy doesn't sit well with me here.
Okay, what about him as a Philadelphia 76ers?
I'm all game for that. I'm all game for Philly LeBron. But the fit isn't right.
Okay.
The fit isn't right. So when you're talking about basketball terminology, doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Lakers is not a good fit because he doesn't have the Kobe Magic legacy. They have their own thing going. You have your legacy in Cleveland. Stay in Cleveland.
Okay.
It's more of a prayer, not a hot take.
What kind of legacy is there in Cleveland? I guess he brought a championship.
No, that championship is all you need. Like,
yeah, and that's why he's going
to
be up.
No, yeah, I understand what you're saying. If he goes to the Lakers and, like, scuttles and is struggles as a Laker, it's weird because he's, like, diminishing the Lakers and also diminishing himself. But if he struggles in Philly, it's fine.
Like, Lakers are their own entity. It's a weird thing. Like, you're part of a club. Like, Shaq, Kobe, Magic, Jerry West. Like, these players...
Think he wants to be a part of that club?
No, he should be his own guy. Like, I think LeBron is his own dude. Like, Michael had his team. Like, Bulls was his team. And there's been nobody after.
And the Wizards.
Sure. Followed by Gilbert Arena. So, I feel like LeBron has his own team with Cleveland. And, you know, that's untouchable territory.
Okay.
You know, I have a problem personally with his going to Lakers thing.
LeBron has found a new home, and it is with the Lakers. LeBron has agreed to a four-year, $153.3 million deal with Los Angeles.
Reaction pod, Kevin, it has gone down.
Breaking news. It has happened.
This made me look really bad. This made me look really bad. Half an hour later, it drops that LeBron is going to Lakers. After all, it's a four-year, $154 million deal. What is your reaction? We had to get this on.
I'm sorry to have to say this, but I told you so.
You did. I was ready to eat shit, and I'm eating it. It is Lakers shit. So, does that mean the next domino falls here?
The next domino, I sure hope it does. And I really think the two options are, you know, Cuz and Kawhi.
So, man.
Do you think it unfolds?
You know what? I've never been so happy to be wrong about something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense for his legacy, but I think there's a lot more to this. You know, LeBron's kind of working this out with Magic a little bit. I feel like something is going to go down within the next week or so.
Oh, yeah.
Some trade... Or are they going to sign Boogie? I think Boogie signing, to me, my spider sense is tingling now.
Yeah?
Boogie signing is coming.
You were calling it. LeBron starts a new empire in L.A. This is now LeBron.
LeBron would look weird in purple and gold.
It's a weird yellow, look. Too. It's not even really gold. It's a highlighter yellow now.
You know what? I don't know. Maybe he's chasing legacy now. Like, this is his thing now. Like, he's chasing rings. I don't know what he's doing.
He's building an empire.
Maybe it's a family decision.
Right. His kids were already touted by, I believe it was Steven Jackson, tipped us all that his son is now enrolled in a school in L.A. It's a prep school for basketball, but, I mean, we all saw this coming, didn't we?
Well, it was definitely a Woj bomb.
It was a Woj nuke.
Bomb. All right. So Rich is not here. We're recording this right after, obviously, our pod that we recorded about the free agency, our speculations on where everyone's going to go. And then half an hour later, this happened. So we had to do a double take without Richard. But, you know, he's here in spirit. And I'm sure he will, along with Kevin, is saying, we told you so. So I was wrong. I am very happy to admit that LeBron has left the East.
He has now
I think a lot of teams are going to be really excited. Do you think LeBron makes another finals this year?
It may not happen this year. Hey, we never know. We never know, because this is just the first piece that happened. So we can't. We cannot speculate what LeBron and Magic are up to. But I think, know those guys are scheming.
You know, this is. I think this is bad news for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a LeBron guy too. You know, he signed with Clutch Sports. Under
Clutch?
Yeah. So I think he's going to take care of him. You know, how much do you think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a part to play in this?
None.
All right. Well, we're going to sign off. This has to be one of the Vuvuzela moments or whatever.
Mike, throw that in like six times in a loop.
We're just being goofy. All right. Signing off.
That's this week's episode of Back to the Basket. Please find us wherever you get your podcasts, the Google Store, iTunes, Stitcher. Feel free to send us any questions you might have regarding the NBA or anything, and we'll be happy to answer them. You'll find all our social media in the show notes. Remember, we may turn our backs on the basket, but we'll never turn our backs on the fans.